Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Call his wife in. Call her in. We got a game tonight. Let's go. Yankee fans, you're waking up to playoff baseball. Let's go. It's supposed to be way too warm, though. 80 degrees. I need that crisp chill in the air for playoff baseball. We opened the show talking about the lousy Jets. Let's focus more on the playoff baseball, but the lousy Jets, as this coach who told us it's not the same old Jets and then goes out there and coaches a game exactly like the same old Jets. Three turnovers, 13 penalties, partridge in a pear tree. Just the same crap from the Jets, who are now 0-4 as they lost to the Dolphins last night and played a miserable, ugly, disgusting game. Their quarterback can't throw, although he ran for a 42-yard touchdown run. Great. Can't throw. They can't defend. They can't stop committing penalties. They can't stop fumbling. The defense can't stop long drives that get into the end zone off of momentum-building plays. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And then we get to the New York Yankees, who will take on the Boston Red Sox tonight. Game one of the first ever wild card at Yankee Stadium of this new format against Garrett Crochet and the Boston Red Sox. Yankees, Red Sox are back in our lives. And I don't know if that should make us excited. I think it's the toughest matchup the Yankees could have possibly had. I do agree with that. I think they can win it. I think they will win it. I think they're the better team. But there's no doubt. Of anything that you could have speculated or anything that could have happened in the American League playoffs, any round, any team, anything, for me, the most difficult matchup the Yankees could face at any point in this playoffs, hell, even into the World Series because it's seven games, there is the toughest matchup the Yankees will face, or could have even faced, in the postseason, is a three-game set against the Boston Red Sox. Now, it could have been worse by being in Fenway. That would have been worse for me. As well as they've played at Yankee Stadium, and I get it, I saw Giancarlo Stanton hit two balls off the wall in 21 that would have been out at Yankee Stadium. I want the home crowd. I want the bottom. I want the last licks. I want to be at Yankee Stadium, so at least they have that. And I still think they're the better team, and I still think they'll win. But to me, this is as close to a get through this, and I'll see you in the World Series as you could have. I feel very confident in what lies ahead for the New York Yankees if they can get through these next three games. This is the toughest matchup they will face. Crochet on the mound tonight. Even throwing Max Fried, as confident as I am in Max Fried to pitch well in this game, Garrett Crochet is, let's be fair, he's on another level. Doesn't mean they can't touch him up. Doesn't mean they can't win this baseball game. But this is the toughest matchup they could have. Get through it and get to the World Series. That's how I really feel about this. So this is a huge game tonight because I think if the Yankees win tonight, they win this series. And I think if they win this series, they're getting to the World Series. There's a lot hangs in the balance tonight. We've gone over all the different ideas for the possible lineups. Let's get to your calls on it, as well as the Jets, as well as anything else. Jackson Dart, the Mets collapse, if you still want to talk about that. I'm done collecting receipts. That's fine. That's what I'm saying. Like, people think I'm happy. I know Brent in Long Island probably called me up and go, aren't you happy the Mets are out? Am I? Yeah, I had a day where I got to go, ha-ha. Now what? Now I get Reds Dodgers instead of Mets Dodgers? But if you still like to talk about that, we can. But lousy Jets and playoff Yankees are on the table right now. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
Chris McMonagle. How you doing?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, I want to make a few quick points, and I want to finish up with Pete Alonso. But
okay.
There's one guy. I'm not saying to give this one Yankee a bank full of money, but there's one guy that I would love to see the Yankees make a priority. And that guy's Trent Grisham. We're talking about 34 home runs, man.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Cody Bellinger as well, 34 home runs. Cody, I believe, had 29. So, you know, they pretty much they filled the Soto gap in that department very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to see Trent Grisham come back. And the other thing you were right, man, about Devin Williams, without a doubt, he needs to step up. And talking about stepping up, Aaron Judge, Chris, he needs to swing at the first pitch he likes. Do not take strikes, not with this pitcher or any pitcher for that matter, in the playoffs. He takes sometimes way too many strikes, cannot put himself in a hole against these playoff pitchers, cannot do it. If Judge swings at the first Broadway pitch, forget about taking strikes. Believe me, man, all that talk about him being horrible in the playoffs, that'll go away. But he cannot take pitches. And lastly, about Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
I know he's about to opt out, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, man. I would love to see him at Yankee Stadium. With as much as he hits fly balls to right field, oh, man, I would love to see it. I'm gonna tell you right now, Pete Alonso with the pinstripes, why not? Why not, man?
Well, because you have Ben Rice. And I know he might not play in this game tonight. And you're not going to sign Pete Alonso for a player you're not even playing in the biggest game of the year. I don't see the Yankees going after Pete Alonso and that high price contract. I just don't see it. Nor do I think they need more home run hitters. I think they got plenty of home runs. They got plenty of home runs. He's a great player, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be excited if he joined the Yankees, thinking about all the home runs he'll hit the opposite field. I just don't think. One, I'm not sure he's leaving, and two, I don't see the Yankees doing it when they have Ben Rice, who just had a really good year and hits the ball as hard as anyone in baseball. Like, I think they're going to try and make sure he becomes a lot better defensively in the offseason, and he's your first baseman next year, would be my thought. But a couple things. As far as I forgot your first point, so I'll just mention the Judge point. Last year in the postseason, I'm not saying he didn't fall behind. The problem was Judge chased more than he typically does. That was the problem last year. If you watched the games last year, I didn't think it was necessarily that he got in too many holes. I think he swung at pitches outside the strike zone trying to do a lot. And, like, that's the key to me. Sure, swing at the first pitch. I'm fine with that. Swing at the first fastball you get. And I do agree that if he has a game tonight and he plays well and hits a home run or, you know, has a good game and the Yankees win, I would think you are talking just a big-time postseason. Big-time postseason. And he's been playing great. And I wonder if not having the days off helps, not having time to think about it helps, getting right into this next series helps. He's been hot as can be down the stretch here. This is the time now for him to go off. I'm totally with you. I expect him to have a big-time postseason. I always will. He could struggle in this postseason. Next year, I'll expect a big postseason. He could struggle in that one, too. In 2027, I'll expect a big postseason because he's a great hitter, and that's what I expect him to be in every game. So, but I can't deny what he's been in the postseason, which hasn't been very good. This is a big game for him. This is a big series for him. And I think if he has a big game here, he is going to take off. And we'll see if, you know, not having time off is going to help Aaron Judge. But, man, I can't remember his first point. So that's the problem when you go through like a million points and then, like, I can't remember what the first thing he said was. Judge. I don't remember. All right, sorry. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, my
good,
friend?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, good. Can't complain. Quick comment about the Giants and then the Yankees, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, first thing about the Giants, right? We talk about the wins and all that stuff. The reason, really, Dart looked okay, but the real reason why they won were those two turnovers. They got back into
the No doubt. The two turnovers and the pass rush. Yeah, the pass rush and leading to two turnovers. Absolutely, of course.
And if we look at the offensive line play, I'm not really sure about that. He got sacked six times, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
that's not really that good.
He's a rookie. You know, I would put three of those on him for holding the ball too long. At least three of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's a rookie quarterback who's going to hold on to the ball too long. I think that the offensive line has played well enough to win. Is it a dominant offensive line? That first drive of the game, they went right down the field running the football. Scataboo and that offensive line pounded it right down the throats of the Chargers and got into the end zone.
Yeah,
so, like, I think the offensive line played well enough to go win a football game against a good defense like the Chargers.
Yeah, that's a good point. And lastly, and we have to watch this. Dart has to learn how to get down. He's taken too many big hits.
And he's throwing overhand, hand checks, or what's the word I'm looking for? Stiff arms with his throwing hand. Like, what is he doing? So, yes, he's got to be smarter, no doubt. What's your Yankee point?
Now, Yankee point, very, very interesting. You were talking about Crochet and Fried, the two starters. You know, I think Fried is just as good. If you really look at let's look at the stats, right?
Okay.
Crochet, 2.59 ERA. Fried, 2.88.
Mm-hmm.
18 wins for Crochet, 19 wins for Fried.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty even. I don't really see Crochet.
He's more dominant inside the game. He just is. Freed's been great, and I agree. They're throwing ace against ace. I don't think this game is going to be 5-0. I hopefully not. I don't think there's like some great advantage between the two of them, but Crochet strikes out more hitters. Crochet is more dominant. He can go out there and just, you could play nobody behind him, and he'll go out there and dominate a lineup. It's a little different. It's just a little different. I'm not saying, you're right. It's not like they're throwing out, it's not Crochet versus Will Warren. I get it. Max Fried has been great. And the number one point of the pivot. And now I remember he wanted to keep Grisham. Now I remember the first point. Maybe we'll get to it. The biggest pivot off of Juan Soto was Max Fried. And he's been incredible for them. And he led the league in wins, although wins is no longer a huge stat for pitchers in today's day and age. But that's because you don't get a lot of pitchers who have a lot of wins. So 19 is a significant number. He pitches deep into the games, and he gives them a chance to win baseball games. That's what he does. He's been great, and he's the number one reason why they're in the play. Like, he is, to me, you could talk about anything else. He is the main reason that after losing Juan Soto and after losing Gerrit Cole, that we are still in the position we're in as Yankee fans and the Yankees are in, is because of the way he pitched this year. So don't get me wrong. I have every confidence that at worst, the Yankees are going to be in this ballgame. At worst, this is going to be a game where they'll have an opportunity to score runs off the bullpen and try and win the game if Crochet shuts them down. At worst. But it's a little different. Crochet's a little bit more dominant. But absolutely. Absolutely, I expect him to be very good in this game. And it's a legitimate ace. It's ace versus ace. There is no doubt. But there is a slight difference. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on? How are you doing this morning?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, I got a couple of Yankee points about the strategy for tonight, but you and Mario just kind of stole my thunder. One thing I'd like to ask you really, really quickly before I start my points. The stuff that they're talking about, the lineup, is that like speculation, or do we know that to be like that's pretty much what they're putting
out there? Aaron Boone, I don't know about third base. I think Aaron Boone said in the post game, or I know he said in the post game. I watched a lot of it. I'm pretty sure he didn't say anything else about the lineup, but he said Wells will be behind the plate and Goldschmidt will be at first. So that means no Ben Rice. So that okay. I think we know. We don't know about second with Rosario. And we don't know about Caballero in the starting lineup, but I'm pretty sure first will be Boone did say in the press conference today Wells would be a catcher, and Goldschmidt would be a first.
Okay, because I've been hearing that all, like, from since early in the afternoon, even, on Evan and Tiki. They were giving you, like, speculations about the lineup, and I found that kind of, you know, kind of eerie, but I said let it go. But it's funny, because that stuff kind of plays into what I think is the strategy for tonight in order for us to win the game, okay? So barring, like, us ambushing Crochet early in, like, you know, the first inning or the second inning, I think based on what you and Mario just said, and I've been thinking it all day, you know, and I'm glad that you kind of backed off with the Fried thing and gave him his credit. I think we need Fried to be like, two things have to happen. Fried has to be his dominant self. And if they don't get that ambush inning, he's going to have to match Crochet 0-for-0 or try to keep the scoring for Boston as like minimize it as best as he possibly can. And then our lineup has to do that stuff that Boone talks about and rails about all the time. We have to, like, give those at-bats where, like, Crochet feels us. Because especially if the stuff that they're talking about with the lineup is true, we want to get to our bench if we need to as quickly as we possibly can. The faster they can get Crochet out of the game and hopefully get a righty, you know, from their bullpen in. I know they got Chapman coming late in the game. And I'm not sure about how many lefties they have as far as, like, middle relief and stuff like that, or, like, even in the 7th, 8th inning. But as quickly as we can get to those righties, and that's when you can get a chance to see maybe a Ben Rice as, like, a pinch hit or something like that.
No, I agree, Val. I'm with you. And I know you wanted to keep going on. I apologize. We got to get to some other calls. I want to give everybody a chance this morning. I hear you, obviously. Look, there's no doubt. Crochet, you want to get him out of the game. You want to have good at-bats. You want to make him work. Even if you don't score runs, you want to make him work. Now, he's a bit of a horse. He's a bit of a horse. He can go deep into the game. You know, I don't think they would have any hesitation throwing him 110, 115 if they absolutely needed to. But, yeah, you want to make him work. You want to make him throw stressful pitches. You want to get him out of the game. Absolutely. And the Red Sox bullpen is good. It's been good this year. And they have, obviously, Chapman's been arguably right there with Diaz, the best reliever in baseball and certainly the best reliever in the American League. So it's not easy. It's not going to be easy just to get him out, one. It's not going to be easy to hit the bullpen, too. But, yes, you want to get Crochet out of the game as soon as possible. But here's the one thing I want to say about what needs to happen, because I heard, and you mentioned listening to Tiki and Evan, I heard a caller on today talking about they need to do small ball. Like yesterday I saw them hit 3 singles in a row. That's the kind of thing they need to do. I couldn't disagree more. Do they need to hit singles? Sure. Do they need 2-out hits? Absolutely. That's how you win baseball games. But let me ask you a question, and I've said this a lot. Crochet's a dominant pitcher, right? What do you think is more likely? 3 or 4 singles to score a run or a blast? What do you think is more likely? To rally off of Crochet and have the entire lineup get hits, or to have a walk and a blast? They need to hit home runs. Bottom line, they need to hit home runs. Anybody playing Crochet needs to hit home runs. You're not going to tag him for single here, double down the line, single, single, bunt, walk, single. He's too good to have the bottom of your lineup come through with all these hits. Home runs. Would I love 10 singles? Great. With 2 outs? Great. First to third, single, sacrifice flies, let's go, I'm in. But you want to win this game and you want a clear path to win this game? Hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's how the Yankees win. That's how they'll win this game. That is the best strategy to go against a great starting pitcher. You're not going to have these big-time rallies. The idea of home runs disappear against a great pitcher is nonsense. Nonsense. It's disappeared for the Yankees, and that's why they've lost. But look throughout winning teams. Look at MVPs of the World Series and tell me what happened. Who won the MVP of the World Series last year? Freddie Freeman. What did he do in game one? What did he do in game two? He hit home runs. That's why they won. That's why he won the MVP. You want to beat great pitching? Take them deep. Patrick in Jersey City. What's up, Pat?
Chris, what up, man? How
What's
you
going
doing?
On, buddy? How are you?
Timing. Perfect timing. Contrary to popular belief, people who hit a bunch of home runs win a bunch of baseball games.
It's crazy.
Crazy concept.
I know. It's nuts, isn't it? Nobody
what
sees.
Do you call it?
It's not you need nine David Ecksteins to just put the ball in play. That's how you win in the postseason.
Yeah, the whole lineup should bunt. What do you call it? Based on what we've seen lately, I personally would rather see McMahon and Volpe on that side of the field because they've been perfectly fine lately. I don't really like trying to fix stuff that isn't broken.
Mm-hmm.
But however it turns out, however the lineup goes, I'm fired up for tonight.
Yep.
And just like you were saying before, this team's good enough. They're smart enough. And gosh darn it.
People like them, yeah.
People like them.
That is true. Some people like them. Some people hate them. I tend to like them. But look, they do need they need to hit home runs. Now, Volpe and McMahon, I think Volpe's your starting shortstop. I do. And I think that's the right thing. I've wavered on that for a long stretch. I said Caballero's got to be the answer. He's played well enough. He played well in the postseason last year. And I think Caballero is a bigger weapon off the bench. So I'm sticking with that for now. Now, if he makes two errors in game one, I don't know if I can play him in game two. Like, it's up in the air to that degree. McMahon is a really tricky one. I've been saying it for a while, and I'm interested to see what they do. You want the defense at third base, especially with this with Fried on the mound, but you want as much offense as you can and as many right-handed hitters as you can against Crochet. You just do. And if they think Caballero can play defense at a good enough level, I don't think it'd be Rosario there. And if they want to get Rosario in the lineup, it's going to have to be second base. I don't think they want to play Rosario at third base. I think they want to play Caballero or McMahon. And we'll see what they do. Do you just sacrifice the offense, hope McMahon can do anything, and just say whatever it is, it's defense? Because let's be honest, you're already doing that at catcher, right? You don't know if Wells can hit Crochet. You're just saying, well, listen, I can't have the run game just be running wild on us. I like his pitch framing better. I need my best defensive catcher, so I'm putting Wells no matter what the offense is. If you do it at third base as well, you know, that's tough. It's tough to have two outs you're willing to just throw away for defense. One, I get. Two, how many, you know, there's you got to score some runs. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do at third base. But again, tonight's about Aaron Judge. This thing is about Aaron Judge. And listen, it'd be nice to have a great team that can win without their best player performing. It's not easy. You need your best player to perform. He's got to come through tonight. Big game for Aaron Judge. Big postseason for Aaron Judge.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 4:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Obviously, a lot of leading into Yankee baseball tonight. Game one of the wild card, but we did start with the Jets. Obviously, a disappointing performance last night. Against the Miami Dolphins, another game where 13 penalties, 3 turnovers, undisciplined. I mean, we're supposed to have an identity of, you know, culture and accountability and buttoned up play, and this is what he was going to bring. Instead, it's been a disaster. And also, let's be honest, the quarterback, they don't trust to throw. They get down behind. Like, they can run the football a little bit, and they did early on. The quarterback, like, they're down late in the third quarter, and they don't trust him to throw. Plain and simple. They don't. They don't have a passing attack. And Fleegs, and I bring this up again, I know we went over it, but Fleegs sent me something that Warren Sharp tweeted out. Listen to this stat. Justin Fields is 0-25 as starting quarterback when his opponent scores at least 21 points. So if the other team scores 21 points or more, 21 points or more, Justin Fields is 0-25. He is the only winless quarterback out of 46 quarterbacks in this sample over the last 5 years with at least 10 starts made. The only. Think of the other quarterbacks who probably fit that. Think of the other Jet quarterbacks. 0-25 when the team scores 21 points. You know what that means? It means he can't throw to score. If they fall behind or give up points and chasing points, he's not your quarterback. If you can run the football, if you can shut out the other team, if you can just play from ahead and run the clock out, Justin Fields is your guy. If you fall behind, if you need to score in the second half, he can't do it. And if you don't believe me, and you don't believe Warren Sharp, and you don't believe math, maybe you'll believe Aaron Glenn and the New York Jets because they didn't even attempt to do it.
I'm looking at like the names of guys who have made this number of starts over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacks on this list.
Of course there are.
Zach Wilson, of course.
Of course.
Desmond Ridder. Aiden O'Connell. Kenny Pickett.
Oof.
Will Levis. Jake Browning.
Well, we saw Jake Browning do it last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so I get it.
Sam Howell. Jacoby Brissett. Andy Dalton's corpse.
Well, yeah.
Davis Mills.
The great Davis Mills. So, yeah, not great. Not a great night for the Jets. Hopefully a great night for the New York Yankees and particularly Aaron Judge. But let's get back to your calls on it. Got you for another half hour. Just take it at 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. You know what the other thing I want to talk about real quick, and if I don't do it today, I probably won't be able to do it because the playoffs are going to start and who's going to care. But I just want to say this quick, real quick. I saw a lot of Yankee fans celebrating the fact that the Houston Astros did not make the playoffs, and they folded like a cheap suit down the stretch of the season, blew the division to the Mariners, got swept away by the Mariners, couldn't beat the A's, and allowed, as well as the Detroit Tigers, allowed this collapse and allowed Cleveland to get in. The Houston Astros allowed both of those guys to fail and fade down the stretch, at least Texas to fade and Cleveland to get hot. Detroit to fade and Cleveland to get hot. And they couldn't win games down the stretch to secure a playoff spot. And I understand they're out, and I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans are taking pleasure in it. In fact, I know they are. Not me. This is a sad day for the New York Yankees. It is. For me, it is. And I know this is petty and maybe stupid and childish, and ultimately, I guess it doesn't matter. But I wanted one time, just one time, to send that Astros team home, to have them walk off the field, end their season, and know it was at the hands of the New York Yankees. It'll never be even because they've beaten them too much, but I just wanted that revenge one time. And I know that they had injuries. This is no longer the Houston Astros. I know Correa came back in the trade, and Altuve is still playing, and, you know, Alvarez is still going to be there, and I know he was injured this year. But if you watch them play, it's just not the Houston Astros anymore. It's over. There will be no revenge. There will be even if they beat them now, they're not the same team. They did it to themselves before the Yankees could ever do it to them. I wanted to end their year and beat that Houston team that beat the Yankees over the last decade and just send them home once. And I guess I still might have an opportunity that with Altuve specifically or with Correa. But it's just not the same. Now that they've missed the playoffs, now that they're just an old, beaten team, they're just another team in Major League Baseball, it won't be the same. I wanted that revenge once. And I know now, and I get it in just real quick because I wanted to say it. I know the Yankees are about to take on their biggest rival you know, in the Boston Red Sox, and this is all that matters, and Houston doesn't matter anymore. But they absolutely own the Yankees and were the obstacle to getting to championships time and time again. And I wanted just once to watch them walk off the field losers at the hands of the Yankees. And now that's gone. Even if it happens, it won't mean anything. It's a bummer. I wanted to put them out of their misery. They did it themselves. The Yankees couldn't do it in time. I don't blame the Astros because you go through, that's what happens. Teams go through hot, great stretches and then they fade, they get older. It's not, you know, the Astros had a great run. The Yankees should have got to them before they allowed this to end themselves, but they didn't. They blew it. So I know Yankee fans were happy to see the Astros gone, not me. I wanted them to still be a threat and take them down, but that's never going to happen. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Well, the consolation prize to that, Chris, is that, you know, you can smile knowing that they'll have an extended offseason to perfect their garbage can drumming technique.
Yes, that's true. They will have a nice long offseason. The first time they missed the playoffs in a long time. Look, they've been a great franchise and been kind of the team of the decade, really, with the amount of success they've had and getting to ALCSs and stuff, but it just won't feel the same. They don't look the same. They don't feel the same. And even if they somehow, you know, find a way into the postseason and the Yankees would ever beat them, it feels like this was the end of that run. And it sucks that the Yankees couldn't get them before that ended.
Agreed. Now, I just wanted, somebody said something about the managers, the managing technique. And I always think of Clueless Joe.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden,
all of a sudden, he was a great manager.
From Clueless Joe to a Hall of Fame manager.
Right. So, and then, don't forget, then after 2001, he turned into the manager who couldn't beat the Marlins, turned into the manager who orchestrated the worst collapse in playoff history, losing all four straight to the Red Sox. Then he was the manager who couldn't get out of the first round from 2005 to 2007. Did he become a bad manager? Back again? Did he go through that cycle? Like, it's about the players, man. It's about the players.
Players play. And you know what? I wasn't going to say anything about Judge because all my friends who were Met fans are holding it against me because I kept saying that Cincinnati couldn't catch,
I'm with you, Steve. I am absolutely floored. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it for a while that the Mets are going to find a way. Mets are going to find a way. They're going to get in. And I wasn't being sarcastic. I wasn't trying to troll. I honestly believed that, especially when the Reds got swept by the A's. Now, I know they turned around and swept the Cubs, and that's what got them back in it. But when the Mets were still at the back end of that 8-game losing streak, and they kept fading, and the Cincinnati Reds had their chance and got swept by the A's, I said, that's it. This team isn't good enough, man. You cannot lose to the Cincinnati Reds. I never thought they would. I am up until the last game of the season, I honestly thought they had a good chance to still make it. The Friday night loss was like the first time I thought, hey, man, there's a chance they blow this thing. The Friday night loss against Miami, that was the first time it even possibly went through my mind that the Mets could blow it. Up until then, I was convinced that the Mets would find a way. And even on the last game of the season, I thought the Mets would find a way. I really did. Because they're better than the Cincinnati Reds. There is no, it's an utter disaster. And look, I know Met fans, and let's just say this, I don't want to do the Yankee Met fan thing overall that much. All right, I'll leave that to Twitter. I'll have some fun with all the guys who've gone at me constantly on Twitter. Here, this is about talking about things and how I see the perspective and communicating with the fans. I'm not trying to be a troll here on the show, but I will just say this one thing. Like the idea that any Met fan is waiting to see what happens in this Boston series or to see what happens if they get to the ALDS or see what happens when they get to the ALCS or see what happens in the World Series. The idea that, as you know, Positive Tommy said on the afternoon show, that round one goes to the Yankees and we'll see what happens from here. So the Yankees have to win a World Series or the Mets win round two? It's just absolutely ridiculous. So if any Met fans, listen, take your medicine. Plain and simple. Take your medicine. Nobody was even fighting, and then all of us, nobody was even having a battle. And then all of a sudden, like as if we're going to use round two and boxing analogies, nobody was even having a fight until you got Juan Soto, and then suddenly you poked your head out like Punxsutawney Phil, didn't see your shadow, and felt like declaring yourself Big Brother. If you're a Met fan who went along with that. You declared yourself Big Brother because you won one more game against the Dodgers in the playoffs and because you got Juan Soto. And you felt like this is an opportunity to declare ourselves king. And that's fine. But when you come at the king, you best not miss. And you missed. And not only did you miss, you shot yourself in the foot. So, like, you got to just deal with it. Next year's a different story, but the idea that round two can still go to the Mets if the Yankees get beat by the Red Sox, or that the Met fan, because I know I'll get inundated, if the Yankees lose at any point without winning a championship, inundated by Met fans going, what's the difference? We both lost. There's a difference. There's a difference. You don't get to get round two in the same year. Go win a championship. You got round two. Pat in the Bronx, what's up, Pat?
Mr. McMonigle.
What's going on, bud?
Well, I'm just tying a bow in the Mets season. Last season, Steve Cohn was complaining that we didn't fill the stadium. Well, we did.
He put out a statement acknowledging that. He apologized to the fan base. I thought the message from Steve Cohn was a good one. He apologized. He acknowledged that the fan base showed up. He acknowledged that he demands better. He acknowledged that this was a utter disgrace and you know, not paraphrasing here. He acknowledged the failure that this year was, and he apologized to the fan base and promised better. I thought that was as good a message as you can get from an owner who, for me, gets, you know, outside of what you're talking about, kind of scolding the fan base a little bit last year to show up in the building. Outside of that, I don't know what else you could expect from an owner. I'll be honest. I don't know what else you could expect. The dude, he's done everything you could possibly ask an owner to do. It's up to Stearns and then Mendoza and then obviously the players to accomplish what they need to accomplish. The owner's given them every tool you could possibly ask for.
Let us retain Alonso. Let us sign Alonso, even if it's unfair, and Diaz, and go from there. The pitching lab may be busted. Let's not worry about the pitching lab for now. You know, you might be smart and pick up a player. I thought Holmes did well once the season was said and done, considering where he came from, a relief pitcher to a starter. I think some of the pitching lab worked, but retain Alonso and Diaz. That's my hope.
Well, I 100% think they're going to retain Diaz. I know relievers are fickle. He's proven to be one who isn't. He's proven to be one of those relievers who is great year in and year out. I know the first couple years of his Met tenure, but since 22, when healthy and on the mound, he's been pretty damn good. And he just gave you another brilliant season. I would think that he's going to be retained. I think I think there's a good chance the owner just doesn't care about anything else except keeping Pete. Like, I think there's a chance he's just going to tell Stearns, look, we're signing him. If you want to negotiate and get the best deal possible, you do it. But I'm telling you right now, we're signing him. I think there's a very good chance of that. But all my point's been about Pete is that I think you have to be open. I know Sal, I put it out too. Like, I didn't say it as much as Sal. Sal, I guess, put out today that, or yesterday, said he wants to openly look to trade Lindor. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'm open to anything. Like, that's what I've said. I think the Met fan has to be open to anything. If you believe that the team needs a shakeup and the core needs a shakeup, then you have to be open to anything. You can't say, oh, the core needs a shakeup. Well, not that part of the core, not this part of the core. Certainly not this. When I say that, I certainly don't mean this. No, you mean it's got to change. So you got to be open to all levels of change. You've got to be open. Now, if it makes the team better, not trading Lindor for Lindor's sake, not signing Pete just to be different. You've got to have a plan where not signing Pete makes you better. You have to have a plan where trading Lindor makes you better. But if those scenarios arise, I think it'd be foolish for Stearns, and I think it'd be foolish for the Met fan to not acknowledge that you should look at those scenarios. You should look at those scenarios. I think everything is on the table. Everything is on the table. Not that you should do everything and completely change the 25-man roster completely, 26-man roster completely, but any one piece of this core should be subject to change. Any one piece. I don't care who it is. Now, do I think trading Lindor, there's an easy path to do that and get better? No. I think it's a damn near impossible to ask to trade Lindor and get better. But if it's there, for whatever reason, I don't think you could just dismiss it under the guise of, well, Lindor's our guy. I think that's out the window. I just think it's very difficult to imagine a scenario where that's the case. That's all. And the same thing with Pete. It's hard to envision replacing Pete's numbers. But if they have a plan to do so, I think the fans and Stern should be...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Open to it.
Talk sports hands-free. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, real quick. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for another couple of minutes as we get you to 5 o'clock. So let's get right to the calls. Try and get through as many as we can here. Let's go to Mark in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Mark?
Big Mac, what's happening, brother?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good. I got a question. I constantly hear you referring to the Blue Jays as frauds. Correct. Because of their postseason failings.
Well, right. More than just but yes.
My question to you is, when Aaron Judge pukes all over himself again mm-hmm. this postseason, are you going to refer to him as a fraud?
No, probably not. But I appreciate the question. No, I won't. Because, again, the Blue Jays just haven't lost in the postseason. The Blue Jays just haven't lost series. The Blue Jays, this version of the Blue Jays, have yet to win a playoff game. A playoff game. And they damn near blew a 5-game division lead with like 8 to play. Okay? I've been calling this group fraud since 2001. When the Yankees went in there in September scuffling. 2021. I don't know if I said 2001. 2021. They went in there scuffling. With the wild card on the line, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees were all shuffling there for the wild card spot. And they went into Toronto and took 2 out of 3. And Toronto was running their mouth, and they lost. They haven't won a playoff game. They blew that series when they had an opportunity to get into the postseason and talked all kinds of trash. And since then, this group of secondary generation superstars has failed and failed and failed. We'll see what they do this year. And they managed to stave off losing the division. But they're frauds until otherwise proven. I know Judge has struggled in the postseason. He was playing in the World Series last year. When Vladimir Guerrero Jr. wins a playoff game, let me know. Walt in Oceanport. What's up, Walt?
Chris, I'm very unhappy because my understanding is that Volpe is going to be playing tomorrow or today.
Yes.
And I'm very scared now because I was very happy when we clinched, okay? But I would much rather now, because it's such a short game series, have Toronto and the Red Sox beat up on each other, and then I don't like sitting around for 5 days. Okay,
right,
but now I'm a little worried because I'm all about putting the best players out there, and you got 7, 8, and 9. Okay, in our lineup. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
It has back average of like 218. Okay,
okay,
and. And Volpe does not deserve, okay, Caballero should be out there. He has a .240 batting average, plus the fact if he gets a single or a walk, okay, within 3 or 4 minutes, that's going to turn into a double.
Yeah, if he gets a single or a walk. And as a Yankee, he's had better numbers, but overall, I mean, his best career OPS is, I believe, Anthony Volpe's worst career OPS. Like, he has not been a guy who's proven to get on base. And he is a weapon off the bench. Like, I got to hope he gets on, or I can hope someone else gets on late and pinch run him for that stolen base. And Anthony Volpe has played well enough the last 2 weeks or so. He hasn't made an error. He's played better defensively. The throws have been stronger. And he's been hitting somewhat better. I think the best version is an Anthony Volpe who doesn't kick the ball around, and Caballero off the bench so I can pinch run him if, say, Giancarlo Stanton gets on base late in the game, down a run, up a run. I want that extra run. I need to tie a game. I prefer that. I think that's the better weapon. I think the Yankees are more dangerous that way. I like that weapon off the bench. I think this is the best version. Now, can Anthony Volpe play well enough? If he makes 2 errors in game one, then I'm not playing him in game two. But right now, and considering his postseason success last year, I'm going to give him a chance to start. I think he's earned it. I think he is the Yankee shortstop. And particularly the main reason for me is that the guy who would play instead, I like him off the bench as a threat. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, I hope you lost all your Giants bets because I won mine. And when they
good
make the playoffs, you can't flip-flop and come back either. And stop
got
bringing
it
up the 47, 50 points that the Giants scored against Dallas. They let up 40 points every game. They're the worst defense. So that point is ridiculous. And the last thing,
because they score 47 against all the bad defenses they play. Good.
Good point about why do we score so many. They have the worst defense. So just
sure.
Stop with that.
No, I got you.
With the Mets-Yankees dynamic, here's the proof, right? You just said it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a whole entire Mets fan base right now praying that your team that you love gets swept, and they're going to be all over you. And
correct.
And that's the team you want to go to the World Series if it didn't affect the Yankees, right? Let's repeat that.
That is correct.
There's no way. You're fooling yourself.
Yeah. Listen, Brett, we have the same stuff over and over. You go over this over and over with me. I don't know how else to say it to you. I'll just tell you this. Do you think that I'm like, yeah, I could go back and forth with fans, right? And I'll have some fun with it now that I'm on top or the Yankees are on top, and I'll have to deal with it when the Yankees lose, right? Do you think that makes me rather not watch a baseball game I'm invested in and can talk about? You think I'd rather watch the Reds and Dodgers or the Mets and Dodgers? Think that lasts a day, man. It's so superficial and not real. I don't care. Like, it's about, like, I want to watch the games. I want to be invested. Gary in Astoria, I want to talk about it. It's what I do. What's up, Gary?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Yeah.
Did you see that press conference by David Stearns?
I did, yes.
I was not impressed, first of all. He does not seem like a real baseball guy, number one. Number two, he has no general manager. And I think Ryan Cashman's going to make a play for Alonso.
I don't think he's going to make a play for Alonso. I don't think they need more home run hitters. And I think they have a cheap option at first base with Rice and could put money elsewhere. As far as David Stearns, I thought it was a decent enough press conference. Look, you get the idea. If Met fans were looking for, I know I handled the rotation, I'm going to do it different in the future, you didn't get that. He talked about developing starting pitching because of his beliefs about free agent pitchers. And he's not wrong, but eventually you do have to make sure, if you don't develop it, that you got to find some top-level talent, and we'll see how he handles it. But I thought he was okay. Thank you guys for calling. Thanks to Fleegs on the other side. Let's go. Yankees, Red Sox. I'll be with you tomorrow morning, 2 a.m. We'll break it down. Let's go, Yankees. Oh, bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.